Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Willow Creek Church. We're so happy to have you guys here with us. We're going to start worship in just a minute. My name is Rebecca, and I'm excited to be back worshiping with you guys. I recently had a baby, my third little babe, and she's awesome. She's precious, but I'm really tired. I'm just really tired all the time. Three is no joke. But they're a blessing for sure. They're a blessing. And I want to read the scripture to you guys today. It says, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I encourage you this morning, take on his yoke, give him yours. Your tiredness, give him your pain, give him your hurts. It's in those moments he calls us to worship him even more when we don't feel like it, when we're exhausted. But we encourage you in that this morning. Would you guys stand and worship with us today? Sing this out. There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain.
Sing it out. There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
Shine.
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Amen. Good morning, church. You may be seated. Wow, I'm so glad to be here with you. Welcome to Willow Creek Church. I am Pastor Drew. I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Kevin is up in the Great White North of Pittsburgh. He's speaking at a camp up there. He has pushed warm weather down to Florida. Amen. It's a beautiful day. A little muggy outside, actually, but really nice to have some warm weather here. And we are so glad you're here and worshiping with us as a church family today. There's a lot happening in today's service. Dr. Steve Brown will be preaching the message today. We love very much. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper communion today. We're also celebrating with a very bittersweet emotions the retirement of one of our longtime staff members, Sabrina Beasley, today. So lots of great things happening, but most significantly is we're worshiping our great God. And to that end, we're calling him now into worship. This is from Psalm chapter 100. This is the call to worship. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Pray with me, church. Father, we are thankful that you are good. We are thankful that your love goes so far beyond our own ability to demonstrate love. Lord, your love never fails. God, I know in my own life, and I know in our relationships here on earth, we often put conditions on how we interact with others. We hurt, or we feel a removal of love, or we remove love ourselves. But God, you never remove your love. You are with us, you love us, and you call us to yourself. And so, Lord, I pray that no matter what is going on this morning, no matter what circumstances are impacting the individual members of this church family this morning, I pray that all of us collectively might encounter you in a real way. We might know that we're loved by you, that we've seen that love demonstrated through your Son, Jesus, and that your Holy Spirit might move in this place and draw us closer and closer to you this morning, Lord. We love you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, church, I'd like to draw your attention to your bulletin. On the inside portion of your bulletin, there's a tearaway little section called the Connect Card. The Connect Card's an opportunity for us to connect with you, and for you to connect with what's going on in the life of the church. Please, if you would, fill that out. You can put a prayer request that you would like submitted, more information about a particular ministry or a service opportunity. You could drop that in the offering plate. Our ushers will come by in a little bit later in the service, and you can drop it in there. Now, church, would you stand up? I know this is a big place. Look around, make a connection, and welcome somebody to Willow Creek Church. We're glad you're here today.
Church, lift your voices with me and worship our God. All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, path all along. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sin, wake up the saint, let every name Stress and the worry, the anxiety and the fear of this past week just fall off you right now in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to enter into your rest. Thank you, God. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
You may be seated, church. And you think about those lyrics, the deep, deep love that the Father has for us. When somebody loves you, your natural instinct is to move towards them, right? To even, in our earthly relationship, share with those who maybe you have hurt or who have hurt you. because you do so out of the love, the trust that's been built. And so as we reflect on God's great love for us, might at this time we enter in to a place where we share our shortcomings, where we confess our sin and our need for the Lord. Would you pray this prayer of confession with me? It's on the screen behind me. Almighty God, we acknowledge and confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Deepen within us our sorrow for the wrong we have done and the good we have left undone. Lord, you are full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. There is always forgiveness with you. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Bind up that which is broken. Give light to our minds, strength to our wills, and rest to our souls. Speak to each of us and let your word abide with us until it has wrought in us your holy will. Amen. Now for those in Christ, listen to these words from Psalm chapter 130. This is the good news that you have been forgiven. Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquity, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Amen. Let's continue worshiping the Lord.
So I have a confession to make too. When I first came to this church, even though I'm the one that leads this song just about every Sunday, I didn't like this song at all. And it actually came from my old church down in Fort Lauderdale. The person who wrote it was a worship leader down there. And one of the things I didn't like about it was the fact that it talks about, I feel my sin. And I even got tried to get Jeremy to change the words to, I see my sin, or I know my sin, or I've read my sin, whatever it might be. But there are times in our lives, and there should be as believers, when we feel our sin. And I am in one of those places right now. My wife can attest to that. And so as we stand and sing this song, the good news, the great news, is that whether we feel our sin or not, Jesus has already paid the price. He has already ransomed us from sin and death. And that's what we have to remember every time we worship Him, whether it's on a daily basis at home or whether it's here, that Jesus has done everything that we could not do for ourselves. Let's all stand and let's sing this.
Death forever sealed in time.
be seated. And church, we really love you here. We're thankful that we serve and worship a perfect God, a God who knows us and loves us. And so if you are a longtime member of this church family, if you're brand new to Willow Creek, welcome. We're very glad you're here. We have a lot going on in the life of the church, both what you hear and see up front, but also what you don't see behind the scenes here. And so to that point, our website is a great place to first get connected, willowcreekchurch.org. If you haven't checked that out, please do. We update it on a regular basis, including sermons like Dr. Brown's message today will be on our website this coming week. But would like to direct you to just a couple of items that we would highlight for the whole church family. Last Wednesday, this most recent Wednesday, started our Spring Wednesday at Willow offerings. And I love seeing familiar faces here in the worship center that were at Wednesday at Willow. Wednesday at Willow starts in the morning. It starts at 10 a.m. with our SALT meeting. That's the senior adult group, meets at 10 a.m. led by Jim and Nancy Irwin. They meet in the chapel at 10 a.m. And then Wednesday evenings throughout the spring at 6 o'clock, we'll be right outside the doors here in the lobby eating pizza and having a fellowship time. And then at 6:30, we have offerings for all ages. We've got great, I think, 5 different offerings for adults. We have our junior high ministry, children's ministry, and nursery as well. So if you didn't come last Wednesday, that is fine. If you are available and can carve out some time, we'd love to see you this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. It's a little bit smaller, a little bit more intimate setting. You get to know people from the church family well that way. The second announcement I have is our Wednesday's Willow. That's what we just said. The Elise Fitzpatrick Women's Conference. If you haven't signed up, would strongly, strongly encourage you. That's going to be a Friday night and a Saturday morning, February 22nd and 23rd. So just a couple of weeks from now, you can see the information behind me on the screen. You can go to our website to register for that conference. It's very inexpensive. Elise Fitzpatrick is a national speaker. She's coming to our facility. That conference will be next door in the chapel. So sign up on our website. And our final announcement this morning is, again, as I said at the top of our service, it's very bittersweet, but we'd like to invite Mark and Sabrina Beasley. Sabrina Beasley has been a staff member here at Willow Creek for 20 years, and we are so, so thankful for her service. But yeah, please clap. Oh, Mark's not coming up, apparently. He's staying. He's being shy. And the elders as well, if you would please come forward. But Sabrina has worked and really been right there in the front as the face of our staff for 20 years. And so Mark and Sabrina have recently moved to New Smyrna. They're still going to be around. They still call Willow Creek home, but they won't be here every day. And as I joked in the first service, Sabrina was hired at a very, very, very young age because 20 years ago, your assistant pastor was only in middle school, so you can tell. So Sabrina was like 10 though when she was hired here. But we are so grateful for your service, Sabrina. We love you and Mark. We love your family, and you're going to be missed for sure. I look forward to always connecting with Sabrina. Sabrina knows the schedule better than Pastor Kevin, myself, the other staff members that create the schedule. Sabrina knows it better than all, and so she will be greatly missed. I also said this first service that existing staff members Cheryl Espessi and Molly Labby will be taking on some of the responsibilities that Sabrina held. And additionally, we hired in a part-time capacity Marcia Jinks. So it really takes 3 people to do the work of one here. And so, Sabrina, you're going to be missed, but we love you and we're so excited for the next chapter of your life. And I think Jeff or somebody's going to share from the elders.
And Jeff handed me this microphone, so as the other, if you see a look on the elder's face as they gave Sam a microphone, you'll find out why they're a little concerned. Mark, why don't you come up here? I don't feel right without you up here, man. This is if you know anything about the staff at Willow Creek, you know it's a collaboration of both husband and wife that because Sabrina's had a very, very deep commitment to this church for many, many years. Extensive hours, above and beyond, and I'm a testimony to that because I've asked her to do that many times. In different things that I've been involved in, Sabrina's always the one that gets it done. Whenever you ask her to do something, it's done extremely well, and her husband's had to put up with a lot while she's done those things. So I want to tell you, you probably don't realize this, but I grew up in a butcher shop. And there's an old saying, you don't want to see how your sausage is made. And there's a reason for that, but I can go into that another time if you'd like to know. Sabrina is the one that gets the sausage made. She gets it all done. She makes it happen. She has for many, many years. We're incredibly thankful for that. I think they kept this under wraps. This may be coming as a surprise to many of you that you only found out about this a week or two ago. It's because we're in sheer panic about the fact that she's not going to be here. And she has consented that she'll be available for consultations. We have your cell phone number. And if that doesn't work, we'll just track you down. We'll find you on the beach. I recently went through the same transition. I retired about a month, 5 weeks ago. And everybody wants to know what your plan is. And I was talking to her in the foyer, and she doesn't have one. And that's my plan. I didn't have one. Just throw out your alarm clock. And you did? All done? Beautiful. That's the best advice I can give you, no alarm clock. And I didn't like my job very much, so retirement was easy for me. It's going to be a little more of a struggle for you because you're loved. I know you love everybody here, and it's been incredible. And I would just ask you now, thank you is not enough. So outside we have the keys to your new Yugo. No, I'm just kidding. It was hard to find the Yugo. It's not a car that there's a lot of, but we wanted to give it something to remember us by. Does anybody not know what a Yugo is? Okay. It's a bad car from Yugoslavia. But we love the Slavics. Never mind. That's another story.
I told you, Sam?
They shouldn't have given me the microphone. we're going to pray for Sabrina, and please join me now. Father God, life is full of transitions, and this is a bittersweet one, Father. This is one where our loss is New Smyrna's gain. We pray, Father, that as Mark and Sabrina start this new chapter, that you would be central in that transition, that they would look to you for their purpose and for their guidance. Would you give them the words to be a blessing to all those around them? Would you make them an example, Father, that would cause others to look and say, tell me more about this this God that you worship, this Jesus that you serve. We ask, Lord, that you send them out now and help us to cope. Help us to get through the void that we'll be feeling and we'll be realizing, and that those who fill the void, Lord, would be given your guidance and your blessing. And we lift this all to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sam. One more round of applause for Sabrina and Mark. We're very thankful for both of them. And at this time, our ushers are going to make their way forward. This would be the point in the service where the morning offering would take place. Also, your connect cards. We love you, church. Let's continue to worship our great God.
There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
We were singing this earlier in the chapel. I felt very, very convicted about something. And so I thought I'd share it with you guys now. You're chosen and not forsaken. You are who he says you are. And I am who he says I am, even in my sin. Even when I'm disobedient. Even when I am being the biggest jerk I have ever been. I'm a child of God. Why? Because it's not about what I did. There's nothing I could possibly do to earn that. There's nothing I could do to deserve it or warrant it. It's entirely based on what Jesus Christ did for you and what he did for me. So I thank God for that. Because I am chosen and I'm not forsaken, even when I'm a screw up. So thank God for that.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, worship team. Pray with me, church, on the heels of that wonderful worship song. Father, we come to you and we just thank you that we are your children. Lord, that you love us, that you call us your own through faith in the work of your son, Jesus. You have given us so much. And so, Lord, we pray that the tithes and offerings that we have given today or even might be considering giving later today or this week, Lord, may we not give holding back or with a heart that is anything but generous. Lord, you have called us to be stewards of what we have been given in this life, but ultimately, Lord, everything belongs to you. And so help us to be mindful of that and to freely give to what you're doing, not only in Willow Creek Church, but also in your larger kingdom here on earth. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Well, church, it's this time that we'd like to invite any children, kindergarten through fifth grade. You don't have to, but any kiddos that would like to be a part of our children's worship time, now is the time to meet Miss Joanna and our children's ministry team there in the back of the worship center in the lobby. And parents, you can pick up your child just to the left in the gym after the service. And we'd like to invite out Dr. Steve Brown to preach the word this morning. Could we give him a nice round of applause as he comes out?
It's hard to think of Willow Creek without Sabrina. She's been here as long as we've been here. She was here when we came. And I've told her often that when she dies, they're going to put on her tombstone, I'll take care of it. Because she has done that and been a great addition to our church. Going to miss you a lot. I'm going to sit. You get to sit. I don't know why I can't. Let's pray. Father, we're here not because we're good, but because we're yours. Take your word and your truth and put it in our minds so that we would not be superficial and silly Christians. And then, Father, drop it to our hearts so we wouldn't be cold Calvinists. And then put it in our hands and our feet and our vocal cords so the world can hear the laughter of the redeemed. As always, Father, we pray for the one who teaches. Forgive him his sins, because they are many. We would see Jesus and him only. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, I love this church. I love... What do you want? Can you hear me? Testing. We're good to go now, right? You're great. Thank you. Yay! What was that? Oh, I love this church. I love coming to worship. I love the music. I love our pastor. I love our elders and officers and leaders and staff. But I have a confession to make. More often than not, when I come here to worship, I get irritated. When I go to meetings at the church, I find myself being irritated. And it's not just because I'm old. If you're old, you're already irritated about that. It's something else, and I've been praying about it. I've been asking the Lord to show me, and I found out what it is. I don't have any control. I'm not the pastor, and I'm not an elder, and I don't even get a vote. A number of years ago, we were coming out of choir practice just at the same time the session, our elders were coming out of an elders meeting. Evidently, it had been a horrible meeting. And I started laughing. And one of the elders said, Brown, what are you laughing about? I said, because I just thought that I never again in my entire life will have to go to an elders meeting. But I would put an addendum to that. When you're not an elder, you don't get a vote. We have ruling elders. If you're not the pastor, you don't have any leverage. You don't have any power. And frankly, that irritates me. Most of my friends, my age, and I'm old as dirt, are either dead or retired. And the live ones often say to me, Steve, when are you going to retire? And I say, when I drool or die. Because you can't control anything when you're retired. My late mentor, Fred Smith, had a friend who was an executive of a large corporation, and he was retired, and he looked miserable, and Fred asked him what was wrong. And he said, Fred, when I was working, I had a list of a row of buttons on my desk. And every time I pressed one of those buttons, something happened. Now I don't have one damn button. I get that. I get that. The reason I don't like Christmas is you can't control Christmas. People are crazy. I don't like vacations because you can't control vacations. And I get irritated at church because I don't have a boat. You say, well, Steve, what would you change? I wouldn't change a thing. I love the music. I love our staff. I love the people. I love the meat. I like everything about this church, but that's not the point. Here's the point. If I didn't, if there was something that I didn't like, I couldn't do a thing about it. You say, Steve, that's neurotic. I know it is. But listen to me, it's also a sin. And it's a bigger sin than most of us think. As I've been studying this week, I've realized that almost all of our shame, all of our insecurities, all of our guilt, all of our fear, all of our anxieties come from a need to control. There are some texts that are bigger than the words of the text. In other words, a particular text will address an issue, but as you read it, all kinds of things come to your mind, and you realize that you're being given principles that apply in a whole lot of areas. Our text for this morning does that. It's a part of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's from the 6th chapter of Matthew, where Matthew says, beginning at the 25th verse, that Jesus said this, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of much more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, For your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, in just a minute, we're going to talk about control, but first, I want to go down a clarifying side road to make sure that you don't take what I'm going to teach you this morning wrong. One of the interesting things about Scripture is the passive, aggressive teaching of Scripture. Some places, when you read the scripture, you realize that God is in the charge of everything. Romans 8:28. And all you have to do is to accept the gifts and be still and know. And in other places, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your mind. This one thing I do. It goes on, and it seems like a mix. Let me tell you what Spurgeon said. He said we ought to pray as if God controlled everything. And we ought to work as if we controlled everything. In other words, if your house is on fire, pray about it, but get a hose. If somebody breaks into your house, pray they get saved. But don't forget your gun. When your pagans don't know Christ, pray that they come to Christ. But you go and you tell them. I was in commercial broadcasting for a very long time. And one of the great no-nos about commercial broadcasting is the danger of dead air. I can't tell you how often, when we didn't have anything to say or the air went dead, somebody, generally the manager or the program director, would say, "Don't stand there. Do something. Say something. Create something." I don't have any news. I just shot the news director. No, we do. And the Bible does the same thing. In the background is God, sovereign over every molecule of our lives, the good and the bad, the laughter and the tears, the pain and the joy, every bit of it. But when you have something to do, do it as best you can, and that's enough. All right, let's talk about control. This morning I'm going to teach you how to play poker and make some money, especially if you're a pagan. And if you're a Christian, I'm going to teach you something that will absolutely change your life. If you're old enough, you remember the old campus crusade for Christ. It's called Crew. And in the olden days, and they still have a version of it, there was a little yellow booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. And God used that in an amazing way all over the world. But in that little booklet, if you remember, there was always a question: who sits on the throne of your life? In fact, in some of those little booklets, there was a little chair to represent a throne. And you would ask and point to the chair and say, "That's your throne. Who's sitting on the throne of your life?" That's a good question. Who is sitting on the throne of your life? And everything you just thought is wrong. It's not what you think. Some of you are saying, "Oh, spit. I got to be a preacher. I got to go to church more. I got to be a lot nicer. I got to smile all the time. And God's probably going to send me to some third world country without internet, because God's on the..." No, it's not. That has nothing to do with God being in control. I have a friend. His name is Tal Prince. He's the late Cliff Barrow's stepson. And I've loved Tal like a son for more years than I say. He told me last week. I asked him if he made any New Year's resolutions, and he said, "No, I don't do that anymore." I said, "You don't make any?" And he said, "No, I don't do any." He said, "The reason is that I have demonstrated before God and everybody I know that I'm incapable of fulfilling New Year's resolutions." And then he said, "But let me tell you what I've done. I now make New Year's relinquishments. When he said it, the light went on, and I thought, you know, I can do that. When I can't do it, I relinquish it. When it hurts, I relinquish it. When I see what I'm supposed to be, I relinquish it. When I want to love more, I relinquish it. I don't make promises, I break those. And then when I break them, I have to lie, and that makes things worse than they are. So I make relinquishments, and that's what it means to have God sitting on the throne of your life. There's a statement in Scripture, and you've quoted it before, but you didn't know where it came from. It's the 46th Psalm and the 10th verse. And this is what it says. Be still and know that I am God. The Hebrew word for be still is rapha, and it means drop the microphone. It means literally to let it go. That's what it means to have. It doesn't mean you're smart or faithful or good or pure and you'll be better than everybody else because God is sitting on your throne. It's because you know you're not. And you relinquish that fact to a God who loves you more than you could know. And by the way, that's the way you play poker too. And I'm going to show you. If we relinquish, turn control over in a poker game or in life, we can risk. Jesus says, your Father knows, don't get so uptight, that you need all of those things. And then he calls us to the biggest risk of our life. Seek first the kingdom of God. I don't do very good with that. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all this stuff, that will be yours as well. If you know that, you can risk. Don't play poker if you can't afford to lose. And don't play poker and be conservative all the time, or you'll lose everything you've got. And don't live life that way either. The good news that we as Christians have is the gifts that God gives us. And you know one of the best gifts he gives us? The gift of not giving a rip. The gift of recognizing that he's got my back. And when a doctor tells me I've got cancer, when my kids aren't following, when I'm going through issues of abuse in my life, when I'm broke and I've lost my job and I can't pay the mortgage payment, at that point, you don't have a thing to lose. He's got your back, and it's all his. After Hurricane Andrew, we'd lost our house. I almost became a Christian when the roof came off. I mean, it was awful. People ask me, what spiritual lessons I learned? The most important was tie the trusses down. It was an awful time. I had an old car and a tree hit it. It was an old Buick. And we were in a little apartment where the one window looked out on a brick wall. It was awful. And I went out to go to church, and my car was gone. Somebody stole that ugly car. I went back in and I said, Hannah, somebody stole God's car. And she started laughing. And I started laughing. And we giggled like little girls. And you know why? Because it wasn't our car. It's all his when you relinquish it. I have a friend. I've only met her once. She's in another state. She's the freest Christian I know. She's delightful. She's a wonderful photographer, an artist, an amazing lady, and they told her she had cancer. And she emailed me, and one of the staff members passed it on to me, and I and a lot of others I asked have been praying for. A couple of days ago, in an email she wrote to me, let me read what she said. She said, "I haven't been immortal since the whole 2017 Christmas diagnosis. I don't think I can ever go back there and go through denial again. It was such a comfortable place to live. I didn't willingly take the red pill, you know. It was forced down my throat with kicking and screaming. Now, though I could live," and she's in remission, "until I'm 100, I live each day with the awareness that this could be my last one. And I am so free." So, looking at what Jesus said in the text I read to you, go get a milkshake. Go offend somebody. Go risk. Speak in tongues. Giggle at inappropriate times and dance as if nobody was looking, because you're free to risk. And that's what it means to have God on the throne of your life. But there's more. If you relinquish it all and God is on the throne of your life, in poker and in life, you can walk. Jesus said, "Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day." Let me tell you something. There's some problems you can't fix. There's some problems that have no solution. There's some problems you can't redeem and make better. It just is. My late mentor, Fred Smith, said that the difference in maturity and immaturity is to know the difference between facts and problems. A problem is something that you can do something about. A fact is something you just have to accept. That great theological mind of our time and metaphysicist Kenny Rogers said it well. You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. And you got to know when to walk away. I have a new doctor. And I love him. He's just great. Robert Schamberger. He was giving me an initial physical exam. And he did what every doctor does when they're examining. He said, "Steve, you smoke?" I said, "Yeah, I smoke a pipe." And before he could say anything, I said, "Hey, you drink?" And he said, "Well, on occasion." And I said, "Let's make a deal. You leave me alone about my pipe, and I'll leave you alone about your booze." And he started laughing. And then he said, "God bless him. That works for me." There's some things you can't fix. When you can't fix, just leave it alone. You're free to walk away. You got a friend you can't lead to Christ, walk away. You got a kid that won't do everything that you want, and they're going in the other direction, walk away. You got financial problems, you got cancer. If you can't fix it, it's not yours. Then I have one other thing. We'll go get lunch. If God's on the throne of your life, if you've given up control and relinquished it to Him, you are free to trust, or in a poker game, to trust that the dealer isn't going to cheat you. That's what Jesus is saying in this text. He said, your Father knows about your needs, and He loves you a lot more than the birds and a lot more than the lilies of the field. Lean back on Him and lean on Him hard. Now, I'm going to give you two principles that will change your life if you listen. The first is this. Whatever you think God is doing in your life right now, He probably isn't. His ways are circuitous. And He doesn't ask for our vote, and He does things that are so crazy. So whatever, and don't be that arrogant thing God told me from His mouth to my ear. I know what, no you don't. Whatever you think He's doing in your life right now, He probably isn't. And the second principle is this. Trust and relinquishment are hardly ever chosen. They are generally forced. Trust and relinquishment are hardly ever chosen. They're almost forced. I can't tell you the number of things that God has ripped out of my hand and I didn't like. It's what you're going through right now. It's the questions you have, the pain you feel, the secret you can't hide, the sleepless nights, all of that is because God loves you so much that He wants you to say, what the hey, and just give it to Him. We've always had German shepherds. We've had five or six. In the early service, I asked Mark and Sabrina. They love shepherds too. If they had one, they said they didn't. And both of us, all three of us, and Anna too, sitting here, we all have sad looks on our faces. The memories of the shepherds that we've had. Quincy, the wonder dog. He had dysplasia, had some problems in his hip. And our vet, instead of putting him down, said, Steve, I think I can cut some cartilage out of that. And he'll limp a little bit, but he'll live a full life. And I said, do it. And he said, well, it's a very major, painful operation. But let's try it and see. So I took Quincy, trusting Quincy, to the vet, left him off. And he was there for 3 days. When I went back to pick him up, he was bandaged and in great pain. And I literally had to carry him to the car with him whining and crying the whole time. And I put him in the back seat, headed for home. When we got home, we had a blanket spread out in the family room, and I placed him very gently on the blanket, and he was whining and crying and in horrible pain. And I sat down in my chair and started reading the paper, and I thought to myself, I've lost my dog. He'll never follow me again. He'll never trust me again. And just at that moment, I felt the bottom of the paper shake, and Quincy stuck his head under the paper and laid his head on my lap. Oh, my. It was awful. He was forced to trust, and he did. And he lived another 10 years, chased every ball we ever threw. So, when God's on the throne of your life, you're free. Risk. You can walk when you need to. You got facts and not problems. And you learn through circumstances that God is faithful, and He's good, and He's faithful, and He's good all the time. years ago when Anna and I were dating. That's been longer than some of you have been alive. We were in college together, and I didn't have any money. I mean Zippo. I was running a laundry and getting 3 cents for every shirt and pouring that back into my education. I didn't have money to take Anna to a dinner or a movie or even buy her a donut. And so our dates in those days generally consisted of walking around the campus and just talking. And sometimes I would say to Anna, I hate this. I wish I had some money so we could go to a nice place for dinner or to a movie or a play or something. And she said to me then, and she said to me subsequently, exactly the same thing a great number of times. You know what she said? She laughed and said, Steve, I don't care where we go, as long as I'm with you. What's God doing in your life? He's bringing you to that point. Trust Him. So you can say, God, I don't like this. And I don't. I told Him this morning He could heal my hearing if He really loved me. I hate these hearing aids. I just wear them for show anyway. But in that, in every doubt and every bit of pain and every dark place I walk, He's teaching me, I don't care where I go or what happens as long as I'm with you. Okay, if you listened to what I taught you, it'll help. And if you're a better poker player, give me 10% of your winnings. You think about that. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you've created a man who has just a unique sense of humor and ability to look at the world and look at your word and point us to you. Lord, thank you for Dr. Brown's ministry, and Lord, we are so thankful for the work that you've done in his life and subsequently the lives of many that he's impacted. Lord, as we now look to you and celebrating the communion table, I pray that this would be just a joyful celebration of being together as a church family, reflecting on the great sacrifice and the great work that you accomplished on our behalf. Amen. Well, church, it's this time in our worship service that we will be partaking of the Lord's Supper, communion. I'd like to invite our elders forward. And this table has been a part of the church for many, many years. In fact, we actually just remembered we need to do the Apostles' Creed first. So if you would, stand with me. Elders, you can come up and stand. We're going to recite the Apostles' Creed. Talking about history, I'm going to explain communion in a minute, but this the Apostles' Creed, the statement that we'll say together is our belief system that we've been saying for many, many, many years. So say this with me, church. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And you can be seated. And now we will talk about communion. Of course, it is the universal church that gathers to celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lived an obedient life, sacrificed his life, and ultimately rose again. Well, it was the night in which he was to be arrested, where he was in the upper room with his disciples. It's commonly known as the Last Supper. Jesus is interacting with his disciples, and he's explaining with ordinary everyday elements of bread, and in that case wine, for us today juice, that it's that these are symbolic of his body and his blood that are getting ready to be sacrificed for us. Now, this is a time where we memorialize, we reflect back in what Christ has done for us. Today, in just a few hours, many of you will be partaking of a meal during the Super Bowl, right? That you perhaps have several family traditions or friend traditions, and we reflect back over the years, what has the Super Bowl meant for you and your family? And maybe there's some great memories there. However, the Super Bowl is here in America. Important, it's a big deal, but it's temporary. This meal has not only been practiced since Jesus walked the earth, but it will be practiced throughout all of eternity. Jesus says in Revelation, when he comes back and restores this earth and returns and gathers to himself all who believe in the name and the work of Jesus Christ throughout history, that we will partake of a feast for all time, the feast of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will party and we will celebrate together. So this feast is a very big deal. So it has, looking back on what Christ accomplished, it's also forward focusing. But for you today, my encouragement would be, would you reflect on what Christ has accomplished for you, how he's brought you into his family. So think about your sin, the fact that you are made a child of God through faith in the work of Jesus. And so my final comments would just simply be that this feast is meant for believers. That if you are not a believer in Christ, we take very seriously the words of Paul when he says, whoever eats and undrinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment upon themselves. So if you have not believed in the work that Jesus has accomplished for you, I pray that right now just quietly meditate on what Dr. Brown has shared and what has been done this morning. And of course, let's eat together as a family. So elders are going to pass the food row by row, and then we're going to eat as a family. Listen to these words from our Lord Jesus. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you, elders and church. This is a big deal. We're celebrating something that happens throughout the world, throughout history. And now let's partake together. Take and eat. After the supper, the Lord Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And let's partake together again, church. Thank you, elders. The blood of Christ given for you. Take and drink. Father, we thank you for this time to gather in your presence, Lord, the opportunity we have to reflect just how amazing your grace is, that you have given your very best. You've given your Son Jesus on our behalf, that he willingly, obediently suffered and died, that we might be able to stand in your presence free from condemnation. Lord, we are thankful for what you have done, what you're currently doing, and what still you have to do here on earth. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand with me and receive this morning's benediction. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you, both now and forevermore, as you go from this place. Go in his peace, knowing that you are loved. Amen. Have a great Super Bowl Sunday. We love you.